Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 23rd of March. Joining us this morning, kind of the guy that's walking on, well, on frozen water for a lot of people in Humboldt County.
Frozen
Tom
roads.
Madsen.
Frozen roads.
You like, well, I was thinking snow, but walking on snow doesn't sound particularly.
Yeah, but then it gets cold and then it freezes.
Yeah, or you slip and fall.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did that a couple of times. Even walking in Stefan's footprints, I still managed to slip.
Well.
Something about old tennis shoes. They didn't tell me about the foot gear.
You know, it's just like bald tires, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Shoes are your tires.
Oh, and thanks for the bald reference, too. Yeah. I mean, you're going to double down on this one for you.
That's a federal policy. Double down on what works.
All right. Hey, wait a minute. I'm down 2-0, and we're only about 30 minutes into the game.
Well, you know, got to take the first quarter to get that big lead, and then you slack off like the Raiders and lose it in the fourth.
Yeah, okay. Are you ready for Why Do We Say It?
Yep.
Big shot. Why do we say big shot?
Because there was a big animal that I just shot, and now it's dinner for the next month.
All right. Largely self-taught, John Dahlgren designed some of the largest guns used in the Civil War.
Yeah, there you go.
A cannon that took his name. A sailor or soldier who saw an 11-inch Dahlgren for the first time was often speechless. This big gun made earlier ones seem tiny and powerless. Fighting men compared an admiral or a general with the huge weapon and called the man in command a big gun.
Never knew that.
Since Dahlgren's big gun spewed big shot at the enemy, any person of great importance also was known as a big shot.
Yeah.
You use that one, maybe.
Yeah. That's very useful knowledge.
Yeah. Just don't bring the cannon out.
Exactly.
You get to meet your department heads real fast on that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially this one with another gun.
Yeah. Or see the badge. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got to share. I'm sure you've gotten a ton of comments already that almost everybody is just been extraordinarily impressed with the department, the roads department. With the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, the maintenance people are just purely incredible. They work from sunup to sundown in the snowstorms day after day after day. You do one pass on the road, you turn around, and it's covered with snow again. I mean, it was just brutal on those guys and the women. I can't say enough about them. I do know that, you know, we got a whole bunch of handmade cards from Neyland school kids thanking them for keeping the school roads open, things like that. So I really appreciate all the good feedback that they've gotten because they work behind the scenes all the time. They work hard all the time, and they just absolutely shine when a disaster hits because they know their job is to keep the roads open and get people back and forth from their home to wherever they need to go.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sexy working in the culverts or driving the trucks and doing that stuff, but
it's cold, wet,
critical.
And miserable.
Maybe they could deliver mail, too.
That would take too much time.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, when you're plowing snow and there's logs buried underneath it and you don't know it and they're popping up at your windshields and
that
it's can be quite scary.
Can the troops train for this kind of thing? Or is it so extraordinary and so exceptional that you really can't? You just got to be very cautious.
Well, basically every year we plow snow somewhere. But this year it was everywhere all at once. And this was just way beyond anything that I've ever operated through and most people throughout California. I mean, it's been a long time since we got slammed like this across the state. It's just incredible how much snow we got and, you know, talking 52, 55 feet up in the Sierras and we had 6-7 foot drifts. It was brutal.
Can you imagine being a snow park operator and you have that kind of snow, but nobody can get to it?
Well, you can't even ski because all of your lifts are, the snow is all the way up to the top of the lift.
Well, those are toboggan runs then.
I guess. That was incredible, some of those photos.
Oh, so in these kind of situations, Tom, you've got roads that are roads that are roads, right?
Yep.
And then you've got roads that are more highly trafficked.
Yep.
You've got roads that are in better conditions. You've got roads that have the surprises, like you were saying, that some of the downed trees that then get covered up. How do you prioritize who gets what first and who's second and how much effort does it go gets applied into some of these roads.
So we actually have a snow removal policy. There's a policy on everything.
Oh, fair enough.
First and foremost, it's school buses. And then it's arterials, the ones with the highest traffic, and working our way back down from there. So if you're on a main road like Matole Road or Alder Point Road, you're going to get service a lot quicker.
Or Central Avenue, in this case.
Central Avenue, McKinleyville. Yeah. You're going to get service a lot quicker than a subdivision or a one way in, one way out. Thomas Road down in Southern Humboldt, something like that, where it doesn't connect to another road. There's less people on it. So we'll be hitting an Alder Point, Bryceland Thorne, and Matole before we hit Thomas Road. But it just goes really down in order from kids first, emergency communications second, making sure we have access to our radio towers because that controls all of our dispatch, the sheriff, the CDF, CAL FIRE. Everybody relies on those towers being operational, and if they go down, we got a black hole of communications. We can't have that in an emergency. And then it's primarily by category road and amount of traffic on that road. Generally, the higher volume roads are going to get the first shot at opening. And sometimes in a storm like this, they can't get off of them because once they get through in one single pass, there's enough snow that already came down behind them that they got to go back and do the same thing over and over and over.
Just kind of like the Golden Gate painting.
Exactly. You start at one end, you go to the other, and then you go back the other way. And that's just, that was how bad it was this year.
Yeah, it was intriguing. Also, the series of storms. So, okay, you finally get it, and now here comes another one. And then here comes another one.
Yeah. And then the scariest part of all is, and now here comes a lot of rain, and the snow level is going to rise a lot.
Right.
And what's flashing through my head is 1964.
Washouts.
A lot of low snow and a very warm rain.
I can't recall seeing any reference to how deep the snowpack was. I think everybody's familiar with the warm, can we call it the Pineapple Express? I do. Okay.
The Pineapple Express
coming through, so it was really the warm, and then the snowpack.
Exactly.
A lot of rain came down, but I couldn't even hazard a guess what the snowpack was in 64.
I don't know. Other than I know it was low, and it was pretty extensive because, again, I believe they were helicoptering hay in the 64.
Oh, they were. Airlifting and helicoptering everything.
And they had convoys coming in over Bell Springs Road because 101 was out.
Yep. We'll reminisce some more when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning. Roads, which is really exciting. Actually, it is kind of exciting this time with Tom Mattson from County Public Works. So, Tom, with the snows that were there, we did have the rain. We had some nice ice also.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a kind of combinations. To me, it was kind of bizarre, surreal, if you will, closing 299. For multiple days, and then we had the situation in Southern Humboldt on the Caltrans roads, and I know those aren't yours, but, once a road guy, always a road guy.
Well, and what occurs is people try to take county roads as detours, and the county roads aren't nearly up to shape as a state highway, even a state highway in...
Middle of summertime.
Yeah. Our county roads are not set up for... the traffic loading and they're primarily for people who live out there and have driven them a lot of times. They're old roads. They're narrow. In the snow, they were even narrower. We were getting a lot of complaints because we only had one lane open, but that's all we could get open.
It was like the center of the road, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. And then you've got these walls of snow on the side, and then you've got to come up there. And, you know, we've had to borrow snow blowers in the past from Caltrans. It's not something that we have, you know, purchased because it would just sit there for 20 years until we need it, and I just can't justify that.
I was impressed with the ranchers and their little bobcats. They're out there buzzing around. And it's kind of like winter wonderland.
They're used to it.
Yeah.
They live up there. They're you know.
They got it.
This was a big storm to them as well, but they deal with the snow almost every year up in the high country.
Yeah, you see Dad and the white bobcat disappear behind the snowbank.
Yep.
That's a little interesting. So when your folks were out there, okay, so I'm heaven forbid, I'm blading the middle of the road, right, going down. How do I know that there's road on either side? If there's water and ice and things like that, and maybe the road wasn't 100% to start with, what do you tell them to do? Kind of get away from the edge as much as you can?
Yeah, and, you know, in our high country, we have a lot of snow, snow marks, the big poles that tell us where the
extension things on
the road is.
Yeah.
You can pretty much tell by the lay of the snow where the road is. You got humps on the side, and you're sticking to the middle. We'll go back to 64 again, where they were plowing up off Neyland Road, and they created a new route for Neyland Road because they went straight where the road curved and didn't find out until the snow melted that they'd just taken a big bend out of the road.
Yeah, I bet you the EIR was a little late on that one, huh?
Well, an emergency.
Things are allowed.
You just got to do what you got to do to save people's lives and get things open.
Yeah. So there's always lessons. And what I'm sensing is it's cool because somehow there's institutional knowledge of an event that happened 60 years ago. That just doesn't seem right.
Oh, it does.
I mean 60 years ago. That just doesn't seem right.
This is
in our recent past. How about if we say that?
In our recent past. You're going back to the year I was born.
Oh, playing that card too. So you nail me on age and you nail me on the bald. Yeah, okay. We're going to have some paybacks here in the next little bit.
I'll see if I get on the radio again ever.
Yeah. But where was this knowledge kept? Or do you guys have that kind of active archive that you can go back real quickly and find those things?
We have a lot of records in the road department. Everything that we've done on the roads, any correspondence, we have all of those letters going back to, sometimes, we have road logs going back into the early 1900s. But a lot of it is just word passed down generation by generation. It's a small community.
So almost oral history.
It's oral history. It's, the ranchers talking to my people who, maybe they're the son of or grandson of somebody who worked on the roads back then. And they said, hey, you got it easy today. Look at that big fancy truck with a heater.
It's something as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. Is this, the stories get told down the generations. And they were told to me when I started working for the county by the director at the time. He drove me around all the big county
that
roads.
That wasn't Murray, was it?
No, it was Don Raffelli.
Raffelli. Okay, well, yeah.
He was Italian. He could drive, he could talk with one hand, smoke a cigar with the other hand, and drive with his knees. But on every road he took me on, he would go through the history off the back top of his head. This happened here then, this happened here then, this property owner's good to work with, this one, blah, 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 blah. And, a lot of that just sunk right in. And
how cool.
And then I've told it to my deputies.
Pass it down.
And,
yeah.
And they pass it down. And, it's just part of the Humboldt County culture, I guess.
So when there is undercutting going on with some of the roads, I saw a couple of film cuts that showed that there was some challenging situations. Okay, you got snow, you got people trapped, you got roads that are falling into the river or into the creek. You just throw everything that you got at it and hope that that's enough?
That's all we can do. We just attack, 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 and hope you don't lose anything.
Now, because of the condition that we have throughout the entire state, at what point does the National Guard come into play?
Well, they came in to help the cows.
Moo.
Rarely does the National Guard get called in. I mean, that's really a last-ditch effort. That's when the 9.5 earthquake hits.
Okay, so other than that, each county's just kind of on their own?
We're on our own. We made requests to Cal Fire for dozer help in the hills to push snow. San Bernardino County got Caltrans to come and help out on their roads because they had so many people stranded in the hills and not enough of their own employees to get the roads open. So you ask, and if there's other counties that aren't in a disaster, we all have a mutual aid agreement, and we can ask those other counties to send their people.
So it's like fire and cops and everybody else.
Exactly.
Similar. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson from Humboldt County Public Works. With the bridges in the area, I know you're kind of sensitive to those, as everybody is. Was there any impact to the bridges that was more than what you were experiencing or the troops were experiencing on the roadways?
No, not for the county. I mean, the big issue in the entire county is, of course, Fern Bridge. But
you don't have to play there, do you?
I don't have to play there, but, you know, that is our right-of-way on the side that they're stationed on, so we did have to get them agreements to work there. But the county bridges held up pretty well.
By design or just pure luck?
By design. Most bridges are pretty heavily designed. There was a lot of money put out in certain years a while ago for seismic retrofit. And so, the county did retrofit a lot of its bridges at that time. There's a couple left that still need to be done. But, you know, bridges are built pretty darn stout.
By design.
By design.
I'm having to finish your sentences now.
Okay, you got one back. Now it's 3-1. I told you I slack off in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Here I come. Watch out, baby. So, overall, are you kind of halfway content with the conditions that the roads are at this point?
I'm horrified.
Coming off of the winter, but it could have been so much worse.
Oh, yeah. I see where you're going there.
Thanks.
The roads are already in bad condition.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they did not get utterly destroyed.
So the designation?
Yes, we have three disaster designations we're working under right now.
Are any of them at the federal level yet?
The first one with the earthquake was state only. The second two are both federal, for the snow and the floods, are both federal designated. So we're hoping to tap in that uncertain future FEMA money. We're spending the money like we're going to get it reimbursed because we qualify.
You mean spending it like you got it? Two.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Now you're closing in.
How many different types of appliances do you have in your sheds? We don't see snow plows throughout the year. We see trucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they've got the nose gear. Now they're out running around. Are there a lot of those types of things that are seasonal or that are extraordinary that are available so you don't have to reach out to some of these counties who knows where?
You know, we all have different buckets for our different needs on our dozers and backhoes and different blades. You know, you've got torches, you've got just all kinds of knickknacks that you would have to run any regular little shop. But yeah, the seasonal things, that would be the plows, that would be the snow chains, but most of the other stuff is utilitarian, meaning If you got five different blades that you need for operating a certain tractor, you have five different blades, and then you just go switch out each blade each time you need it.
It just is, that's the way that, that things
it's
happen.
Just, it's just natural. Go by any shop of any contractor, and it's pretty much what a county yard looks like.
There's a lot of cool that bad?
Well.
Explosion? Things all over the place?
We hardly ever throw away anything, put it that way.
Fair enough.
Unless the regulatory agency says you have to throw this away, we don't throw it away.
Isn't that why you have a torch then to change it so that you don't have to throw it away?
That's why we
Or is that a secret that I shouldn't share?
That's why we have new equipment, because we have to get rid of our old equipment.
How many of the sheds do you have? The one I'm familiar with is the one out at Freshwater Park, but we've got to have a couple of them.
Well, we have six countywide that are stationed. We've probably got 13 or 14 total that used to be fully stationed. Like, we have a station out in the Mattole Valley. There's nobody operating out of there, but we have stockpile there. We have pipe there. We have rock there.
So if you get somebody there, there's stuff that they can
work
with.
We leave equipment there. It's a secure site to leave equipment. We've got another one out in Blocksburg. We've got one in Redwood Valley. So we have secure areas, but we only have six stations where we have people, and that's in Hoopah, McKinleyville, Ronerville, Freshwater, Ferndale, and Garberville.
So with those that are unmanned, you guys pull up with the rigs, and then they can go to town using those trucks?
Yeah, they can use the resources that are already pre-stockpiled out there.
What I was kind of thinking is, like, we have the volunteer fire departments all over the place.
Yep.
Okay, and they know how they train and et cetera, et cetera. Is it county liability that would preclude, I mean, if you had, let's say Mattole, you had four or five folks that were trained and they knew what they were doing, you had confidences in them, they knew the policy books and the procedures, mm-hmm. could they volunteer and get out and do some of the lift for your
they
team?
Do.
Okay.
In an emergency like this, you can see a lot of the local volunteer fire departments have people out sawing up logs, helping out.
Could they get into your workshops or your stations?
That is very limited because, again, everything is risk and liability. But, for instance, not in a storm situation, but out in Shelter Cove with the resource district, they know how to operate our mowers. So we'll leave a mower out there for them because we don't have the power, the people to mow everything all the time. Right. And so we'll strategically leave one out there, and then we allow them to operate it because they know what they're doing. They've been trained. They're good people. And that's really...
You have the confidences.
We're fully confident. They have all of their own insurance and everything else, and we're just letting them operate our like a rental company, like Don's Rental, but with no fee.
Or jingle.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I'm down one going into the final quarter. We'll see what happens when we come back. It's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Matson. Tom, so lessons learned. There's going to be a ton of them, obviously, with this. The budget challenge. Michelle Bushnell was in yesterday and had said that, okay, that there are some projects that are kind of being held up because while on paper it looks okay, the paper you don't have is the currency.
Yes.
So you're kind of betwixt and between a little bit. What does that do to the department as you're either trying to get things geared up and ready for spring, reacting to what's been going on, letting projects out for the summer? Are your hands tied?
Not really. You know, as long as I've got the money coming in a future date and I know I'm in a cash flow bind and not a budget bind, there's a big difference between those two. And so with a cash flow bind, it's just a matter of, it's a construction bridge loan, basically. So I have to pay a little bit of interest because I've got a negative balance. Spending what beyond what I know I have, that's a whole different thing. And so we look.
That's the stuff of illegality.
Exactly. So we look at, you know, very specifically, we make sure that we either have the money coming or it's within our allocated budget. And we look hard at that. And, you know, if we have to put projects out, we have to put projects out. Certain projects we have time flexibility with. Certain projects we don't. FEMA projects, we have no flexibility. We have to do them in a certain timely manner. If I don't do them, they don't give us the money no matter what. Then if I do it, I don't get reimbursed.
So there's windows,
Windows of opportunity. And so, and then there's, you know, how much work can we realistically put out and manage, and the local contractors actually get to construction? Last year, you know, it got pretty stretched thin with, you know, there was so much work going on. Everybody was so busy. It's like, I don't know.
Kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, but it's like that Monty Python movie with a little thin wafer. We just could not give out that little thin wafer because it would all come apart.
Oh, see, you see Monty Python, I immediately go to the night. And maybe if that was the budget, you could see,
So it just requires constant monitoring of the cash flow and where we're at and what we know we're going to get reimbursed versus what is coming out of our baseline road fund.
So when you're doing your budget and you're putting your projects out, is that understood by those that you're working with? I mean, if I'm bidding a project and I know, okay, this may take 18 months before I get paid.
Yep.
Is there an allowance for that?
We have to work it in. And, you know, our auditor and our CAO are very, very sharp people. They understand that there's certain things we can't do financially, but they certainly understand that I've got money sitting out there that'll cover everything I'm spending right now.
So they still have to give their blessing.
Yep.
Is that understood by the entire system, the county system?
I don't know. It's understood by what I need to have it understood by.
Okay. So you're not hindered by people's uncomfortableness with this?
No. And, that, you know, there's other departments that have divisions that do the same thing. They run in arrears because, you know, with a lot of our funding, it's we pay up front and then we wait for reimbursement.
That's got to be comforting on one side because you know it's coming. But on the other side, very, very frustrating and time-consuming.
It is frustrating because of certain agencies' funding reimbursement schedules. For instance, when I'm doing projects funded by the state and Caltrans is in charge of the funding, the money's there in, you know, like 30 days of billing, we're getting paid.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're very, very
on to.
Yeah, they very quick on their reimbursement. They go through and make sure all the billing is correct, everything's legal, and they put it in the system, and boom, the check comes to the county.
So just like normal.
Yeah. You send a bill to FEMA, and I don't know.
Better put a tracer on it?
They might send it to Pluto for their processing center. Who knows?
It's got to be extra pressure, though, for you, because you know, I mean, you don't want to go hog wild.
No.
With this stuff, knowing that it's going to take forever, because somebody's got to still pay the bills.
Exactly.
Is that what contingency dollars are utilized for out of the general fund? Or
It's basically a front end of the money out of the county treasury.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a gazillion dollars sitting there.
It's not like I'm out a gazillion dollars.
You know, anything with seven zeros, that's a gazillion dollars for most of us.
Most of us personally, but for a road project.
Oh, that's...
Almost all of them start with seven zeros at this point in time.
Yeah, there's a reality check on a lot of that stuff for us. Yeah.
I go back to, I have to do it to get reimbursed in a timely manner or it does not get repaired.
So you really don't have an option.
And I'm up against a wall. If the road's down the one lane, I'm not going to not try to repair it. Because if I don't, then that road is one lane forever until it goes to zero lanes. And
yeah, you just got to do what you got to do.
We got to do what we got to do to open the road up.
Well, hopefully you'll, I was going to say march forward, but that probably isn't good.
No, we'll plow forward.
There we go. All right. I think you won this one.
Well, that'd be first.
Yeah, well, don't let it go to your head.
No, it's got to start somewhere. Yeah. Streaks always start with a first win.
Yeah. So does rolling an ankle. So pay attention, okay? Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thank
you. See everybody tomorrow.